Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The college football season's been outstanding. I want to get some insight on some of the local teams and how they're faring. Also, take a look at the national championship picture, the playoff seeding, with our buddy Danny Cannell, who's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. Danny, it's been a minute. Thanks for hopping aboard with us. How are you?
What's up, boys? How we doing? This college football season's been a wild one, man. We got, you know, about 5 or 6 weeks left. I think it's going to be a fun finish down the home stretch, some more wild upsets, and a wide open college football playoff race. It's been a lot of fun, man. It's great to catch up with you guys again.
You too.
Always good.
I did not think a month or two ago that we would be talking to you today and I'd start with this question, but I've got to. How about the Virginia Cavaliers and Tony Elliott? They are number 16 in the country right now. It's 6-1, 3-0 in the conference. They beat Florida State. They're in Chapel Hill to take on the Fighting Belichicks this week. They're heavy favorites in this game, 10.5 points. Are they legit?
Absolutely, they're legit, especially in the landscape today where there's a couple teams I think are better than everybody else, and that's primarily being Ohio State and Indiana. But a week ago, I would have stood here and told you, I think Miami's in that group, Texas Tech's in that group, and what do those teams do? They lose this past weekend. I mean, winning is such a premium right now. You used to take for granted teams that would run the table, or you'd look at teams, maybe in Virginia, which is sitting there at 6-1, and be like, well, you know, they're maybe fraudulent. They haven't played anybody. If you're this record at this point in the season, you're a really good football team. And if you've positioned yourself to be at the top of the ACC standings, you're a really good football team. And even after that Florida State game, which I, of course, that one gutted me a little bit. It was eerily reminiscent of a game that I actually played in when we lost on Thursday night as the number one team in the country, and Virginia stormed the field after. I looked at that team and I said, that wasn't maybe not so much about Florida State being bad, although now maybe that's the case. But at the time, I was like, man, this Virginia team is legit. And I think the win against Louisville looks even better after you saw what they did to Miami last week. And a schedule that's very, very favorable. I don't think enough people are talking about the Virginia Cavaliers being in the playoffs potentially.
What's been the most, I guess maybe besides Indiana, I know we're going to qualify that, but what's been the most pleasantly surprising thing about this topsy-turvy college football season? And maybe who's been the biggest disappointment to you?
The biggest surprise is like the newcomers, like and the teams that nobody saw coming, like a Virginia, like Louisville, who's also a one-loss team. You know, there's always great stories that kind of develop as you go along, and you see these teams kind of come out of nowhere, and the turnaround stories are awesome. So I think those are my favorite part of it. I think the teams that have a chance to make a college football playoff for the first time, those are awesome. I mean, the biggest disappointments are fairly obvious because there's a lot of them, and I think this is something we're going to have to get used to because it's harder to predict college football than ever before with the amount of turnover we see in the transfer portal, and it's harder to predict which team is going to continue fighting once they're out of that college football playoff race. But I had Penn State picked to win the national championship with all that they had returning, with all that they had coming back. They had a quarterback who was a multi-year starter. They were bringing back both running backs and Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. They went out and got the best defensive coordinator in the game from the Ohio State Buckeyes, who just won the national championship, and Jim Knowles, and they come out and they lose three games in a row, now four, and they, you know, losing to Oregon was one thing, but then you lose back-to-back games as three touchdown underdogs. I think that's by far and away the biggest disappointment. But right behind them, the Clemson Tigers, another team I picked to win the ACC. I think they're not that far behind them. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't personally disappointed in what's happened to Florida State, especially after the expectations were reset after they beat Alabama week one. There's been a lot of disappointing stories, but I think it's very clear the number one, is the biggest disappointment, is the Penn State Nittany Lions.
I got one more local question for Danny Cannell joining us via Bet Online, and then we'll hop to some of the big games of the weekend and national stories. Maryland, they did the normal thing that they always do. They get off to the big start out of conference, beat up on, you know, Howard and whoever else they played, and everyone's like, see, I told you, it's finally happening. And now they've lost three games in a row. They collapsed against Washington in the fourth quarter. They lost to Nebraska in a squeaker. And then the real disappointing one here recently was UCLA last weekend. Their freshman quarterback's incredible. Like, I really like the kid. I don't know if they'll be able to keep him or not. I hope they can. What's your take on the state of the Terps?
Oh, man. If I was going to be bluntly brutally honest, I would just say they are what they are. You know, it's a team that can be competitive to make bowl games, that can beat the non-conference games, that might be able to pull off an upset or two. But until they make more of a significant commitment to the NIL game, like Indiana did, you know, like an Arizona State did, like programs that were okay and then went to all of a sudden being really good. Vanderbilt is another really good example. And they make a commitment to making an atmosphere that's really strong, like that Nashville has done. I see them as a team that probably, a buddy of mine that I work with named Bud Elliott in the Cover 3 podcast, he said somebody's got to collect the checks. And what he means by that is with these big TV contracts, especially with the Big Ten and SEC, like not everybody can win. And unfortunately, there's going to be some programs that you're in the conference and you just collect the checks and you don't see yourself as very competitive. And unfortunately, I think that's the reality with Maryland right now. And until they get more serious about it and give them the support they need and try to build up, you know, a roster that can be competitive with the top tier teams, then I think it's kind of the reality of what Maryland is right now. I like Mike Locksley a lot. You're right. I think their QB is a, you know, potential stud. But what happens after this season? Because guess what? Teams are going to come knocking for them. They're going to come kicking the tires saying, hey, whatever Maryland's paying you, we'll probably double it. You know, and will Maryland match? Probably not. It's just a reality of where Maryland is right now. And I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see Maryland get competitive. It's a great market. I've called games there before. I just think that's the reality of the current situation at Maryland.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Cannell with us here on G&E, breaking down the college football slate. Let's go to this weekend. It doesn't get easier for Ole Miss. I thought that Georgia game was awesome. I wasn't sure I was going to win it until, you know, the very end. Obviously, Georgia pulls it out, but no weeks off. You got Oklahoma this week. I feel like this is obviously, they're all big games when you're up at the top like they are, Danny, but they could drop out and all of a sudden maybe miss the playoff, it feels like, if they drop this one to Oklahoma. How
and
do you see
dogs,
it?
By the way.
And they're underdogs,
5.5 points.
Yeah, so this, I totally agree with you. I think this is a sort of a play-in game for Ole Miss, because if they do win this game, I think the most likely scenario with the remaining schedule after this one, they'll probably be favored against the remaining opponents, and they could probably slip up and they could be 10-2. But most likely, if they win this game, they'll probably be 11-1, and they're a lock. An SEC team at 11-1 is a lock. But I think Ole Miss is one that's not a lock at 10-2, especially if they lose this game, because the question will then be, who is your biggest win? Because they would have beaten a lot of average teams in the SEC. Their SEC schedule isn't as tough as some of the other ones. And the one thing Ole Miss did not do that some teams did is schedule a tough non-conference opponent. Their non-conference schedule is pretty pretty easy, a couple pushovers, four of them. And so they don't really have that signature win. And that's where I think it's a realistic question that people would ask. Now, they're an SEC brand. We know how the ESPN and the selection committee feel about, brands in the SEC and teams in the SEC. I think they'd be in the conversation at 10-2. But if they lose this weekend, I think it gets really dicey. On the flip side, if they win this one, they have a letdown versus the other ones. At least they can say, well, we beat a top 25 Oklahoma team on the road. So I think this game is huge for Ole Miss. And, oh, by the way, it's huge for Oklahoma because their schedule gets a lot tougher after this game. Like, it's going to be brutal for them. And to throw a little salt in this rivalry here, this little mini rivalry, Lane Kiffin accused Brent Venables of stealing signals early this week. Now, he did it in a very passive-aggressive way because he said, boy, when I watch film of Oklahoma, it sure looks like they do a great job of scouting signals so much it almost looks like they know what's coming. You know, he kind of alluded to it with a little tongue-in-cheek. And I tell you, I bet that was not received well by Brent Venables. So there's a little extra going in this game. I kind of like Oklahoma in this game. Their defense is really good. It's another road game for Ole Miss. I also wonder if Lane Kiffin's maybe a little bit distracted by a lot of the conversation that's been going on with him potentially leaving to go to the Florida Gators to take that job opening. I think this game is one that Oklahoma could assert its dominance, especially on the offensive and defensive lines.
Danny Cannell, Bet Online, betonline.ag for updated college football playoff Heisman and college football week 9 lines. So, Danny, quick two-parter here then. Number one, Texas A&M is 2.5-point favorites at number 20 LSU, so that's 3 against 20, two top 20 teams. The Tigers lose a third game. It's kind of what Danny was just talking about. They're 2-2 in the conference. Like, where do we go from there if it's an LSU team that has three losses? Can they get in? And then secondly, and both of our last two questions are related here, when we expand the field next year, do these games right now matter less? Because we're saying, could they still get in? Like, if there's a bigger field, does this loss matter for these teams? Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And I totally agree with you. I was, for the past, pretty much since I've gotten into broadcasting about 15 years ago, because I got in with the BCS and I pounded the table. I wanted more access, more teams. And we went to 4. And I said, all right, that's good, but I want more. And then we skipped right past 8 and we went to 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's great. And I thought last year was incredible for exactly what you're talking about. Remember, a couple 9-3 teams were really upset. Ole Miss was one of them, but they lost at home to Kentucky. Alabama was extremely upset, but they lost to Vanderbilt and they lost to Oklahoma. Like, at games they were favored and should have won, but they got left out. You are 1,000% right. If we go to 16, a lot of those games won't matter. So as somebody who was pounding the table for expansion, now I'm doing the opposite. I'm saying, can we please stop expanding so quickly? Let's give this 12 team, a little time to breathe. Let's see how it works out. They already reworked it so you have the seating fixed, so you don't have the automatic bye for just the conference champions. Now it'll be the highest ranked teams. And I think that's a nice little tweak. And I think this really does preserve the regular season so that it matters exactly like the games we're talking about. Because I do think it'll dilute the regular season, which is something I think makes college football special. So you are 1,000% right, and it's a big reason why I'm trying to prevent it from happening, although I don't know if my voice matters that much. I really think it's been highly successful, and I worry that fans become a little bit disinterested in the regular season. If you go to 16, all of a sudden you're just glossing over losses, saying, well, we'll still be fine for the postseason. I do not think that'll be a good thing for the sport.
How real a national championship threat is Oregon?
I think they're real. So, like, here's the thing. This is kind of goes where I got to be real careful. And I'm trying to remind everybody, like, we're seeing teams lose one game, and all of a sudden it's, oh, they weren't as good as we thought they were. But a couple weeks ago, before Oregon played against Indiana, I thought they were an elite team. Most everybody you heard talking about college football thought they were an elite team. The Miami Hurricanes are another one. Everyone's like, oh, they look different. They got dudes. You know, we hear that all the time. And guess what? They do. And so I keep thinking back to years past. You know, I think back that far to just last year when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois early in the season. And I was like, oh, they stink. They lost to a MAC team. They're not going to make the playoffs. So let alone make the playoffs. They're awful. They can't beat anybody. And what do? They run, you know, off 9-10 wins in a row, and they go to the college football playoff. Not only get there, they make it all the way to the national championship game. Last year, Ohio State, they lost on the road at Oregon. That was a highly competitive game. It was a tough loss. I don't think anybody changed their view of them. But do you guys remember the conversation when they lost to Michigan? Ryan Day's got to go. He can't win the big one. He's got to go. And he had to wait for 3 weeks to sit on that. And they had to ask the athletic director for a statement of support. Like, it was that serious. And everybody's like, oh, Ohio State, they can't be that good. They get hot, and they have the talent, and they win the national championship. I still think that teams like Oregon, I still think Miami, I probably would throw Alabama after they lost to Florida State. I think they can still win a national championship. That game feels like a long time ago because it was. Texas Tech just lost. People like them a week ago. I'm not going to be so reactionary to think that teams that we thought were good enough to win it just a week or two ago all of a sudden are garbage. No, let's see how they rebound, and the potential, the talent is still on those rosters. So I know I gave you a bunch of teams, but I still think Oregon is absolutely a team that has the roster to potentially win a national title.
How about let's look at the Heisman race for a second. Right now, Fernando Mendoza has become the favorite, the Indiana quarterback, Ty Simpson, Julian Sain of Ohio State. So you got some of the powers with Alabama represented up there as well. How do you see the Heisman race going? And is Mendoza right now in the running to be the top quarterback off the board in the draft?
Yes. He's a special talent. You know, I didn't see him. I was actually just went and found like my preseason top 10 for quarterbacks coming in. I didn't have him on there. I don't think many people had him on. Sort of an unknown. The one take that I did have that I think was accurate is I thought he would be an upgrade over the quarterback that Indiana had last year. And that's not a knock to Curtis Wark. I just watched Fernando Mendoza last year at Cal. I thought he had a lot of raw ability. He can scramble. He's got a gorgeous, you know, he's got a great arm. So I thought he would be an upgrade. And then it's a testament to Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana staff to put him in these positions to succeed. And then he's totally run away with it. And all of a sudden, he just looks like he's the very clear top cut NFL quarterback from that perspective. And also, I think for Indiana, so I think that it's kind of becoming like what it usually does, too, is the last man standing. Like, you're seeing contenders. While I might think Miami can win the national championship, Carson Beck lost the Heisman in that game against Louisville. Like, I don't think you bounce back from a four interception performance, you know, in a loss for your team. You know, so I think he's out. I think Diego Pavia is somebody who, if he continues to win, it's a fun story, but I don't think he can hold it off. I don't think Vanderbilt's going to run the table. So I think if you have to look at a couple guys, Ty Simpson, who's the current leader, he's awesome. Is he able to kind of hold serve, not slip up, and not lose the game? That's going to be tricky. Mendoza, I think he's probably got the best chance to do that, to kind of hold serve, not lose a game, potentially run the table, and then be that guy that has a resonating performance in the Big Ten title. But I'm going to tell you another name to keep an eye on, and it's the player that he could be playing against in the Big Ten championship game. I just saw Julian Sain in person. I was out in Wisconsin for that game. And while him and Jeremiah Smith, his wide receiver, they were neck and neck. I think it was 13-1 and 14-1 in the Heisman odds. Well, all of a sudden, after a 4-touchdown performance, Julian Sain has kind of leapt to the front. And I don't think Ohio State's going to stumble. And I think you could see the winner of the Big Ten championship game be that last resonating Heisman performance. It's the night before the votes get submitted. I think it could be either Julian Sain or Fernando Mendoza, because I think Ty Simpson might have a stumble. He's guaranteed, I think, to be in New York, but I think the winner of that Big Ten championship game will probably be it. And Jeremiah Smith, as good as he's been, defense has kind of figured out, let's just not give him the big play. They're doubling him, which is why Carnell Tate, their other receiver, has been balling. But that's allowed Julian Sain to kind of cop up in that conversation. I think it's probably the quarterback of whatever team wins the Big Ten.
Danny, awesome as always, dude. Great to catch up with you. Enjoy the weekend.
Oh, you guys are the best. Always great catching up. We'll see you.
Yeah, enjoy the college weekend. You see why we love having Danny Cannell on the show. Great information. Via Bet Online, you can check their odds right now for the college football playoff, the Heisman, college football week 9 as well. Some good games. One game we didn't really get much into, but it's amazing what's happened with this program. Vanderbilt, number 10 in the country, hosting number 15 Missouri, and they're 2.5-point favorites.
I've not seen much of Missouri this year, by the way.
Just neither.
It's not on my radar. I mean, they're good, obviously. They just sort of hang around while everyone else is kind of going up and down and losing.
I watched them play Alabama. Like, offensively, they can scoot. They can get up and down the field. But this Vanderbilt team, with Pavia at quarterback, what that coach has done who played there, that's one of the all-time, like, how did this happen program stories.
It's so cool. I mean, them in Indiana. I mean, if it weren't for Indiana, like, that would be the story. Going back-to-back years where they're frisky in the SEC, where they're usually just the doormat, and now they're, here they are, as you said, a top-10 team, a playoff team, if things continue. And they're favored this weekend against Missouri.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.